Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life with your host, Linda Lang.
Hi, this is Linda Lang from ThoughtChange.com. We're talking money this week on Exploring the Mystical Side of Life. If you enjoy our conversations, please subscribe, share it with a friend. Today, I have the magical consciousness junkie, Molly Mandelberg. Welcome, Molly.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Molly, let's talk about money. So many people don't think of money as having anything to do with consciousness or spirituality, and yet we both know that money is energetic.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there that money is the root of all evil, and that to be a spiritual person, we have to sort of be ascetics without money and avoid it or deny it or give our gifts away for free so that they have value, which is such a conundrum in and of itself. And the truth is, money is simply energy. And in this physical reality, it has the ability to expand the places that we allow it to come into. So when we allow money into our lives, it actually gives us the space to be more of ourselves, which when we're trying to transcend and self-actualize and, you know, transform, we want to do that in as many ways as possible. And one of the reasons I think this is so important is because if we look at the world right now and we imagine more of the awake and spiritual and aligned human beings having more of the money, we would be able to create change so much faster. So that's one of the reasons that I advocate for people mastering their money and understanding the true energetics behind it so that they can have more of it so that we can create greater change on this planet.
That's really it, isn't it? If we want to see change in our 3D world, we need to use some 3D tools as well. And that includes money.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest energetic exchanges that we partake in this physical reality is that of money. So to pretend we don't need it or we don't want it or we'd rather not have it is to sort of, you know, avoid such a big energetic game that we can play in this life.
And yet so much of our programming is unconscious. We're not even aware of the things that are limiting us.
Yeah, most of it. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, and it can happen so easily when we're in those formative younger years between like birth and 7 or 8 or 9 years old. Maybe our parents have even been great with money and they have a lot of money, but we hear one time that money doesn't grow on trees or that you have to work hard to get it. And that sort of implants us. Our subconscious mind is like a sponge at those ages. And we then walk through the rest of our lives as if that one story is true. And we don't even recognize usually consciously all the places where that limits us and stops us and all the places where we think, oh, that money is too easy. I need to do something different for money so that it's harder. And all the ways that we create our lives to justify or rationalize or support that story that was never true in the first place. And we stick ourselves. And so, yeah, one of the beautiful things about working with you or working with me around this kind of topic is we get to start looking at what were those stories that we've been implanted with? How have they been functioning? How has that programming been operating in our lives? And what would we like to choose instead? And how can we start moving into a new state of being where maybe the biggest crisis in your life is not your financial well-being. It can be, you know, something more light or fun or different. And you can start learning new things to elevate our lives.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think it's also important to say that it isn't necessarily your experiences, but how you interpret them that kind of sinks into that unconscious and becomes the program, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I can give an example of that. A few years ago, my van, if you, those of you who are watching us on video, you'll see that I'm in my self-converted tiny homes. It broke down on one of the first trips that I took it out on. And it was a bigger, when I was earlier on in my business and before I had a business, I was very much that starving artist archetype. I was almost prideful about how I could make my life work with not enough money on a regular basis. And while my business was beginning to get good enough to start building my life, and I bought this beautiful van and was starting to build it out, the turbo went out, which is on a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. The turbo is kind of not only a critical piece of machinery, but a very expensive part to replace. And at the time, I did not have the money to do it. I wrote this into my book, which I published recently, the whole story of how it all happened. But on one hand, I could have caved in. I could have been wounded and broken and wrong. I could have decided to sell the van. I could have made my life this sort of tragedy about this big event happening. And instead, I had so much of my mindset geared towards, how is this right? What's good about this? What can I turn this into? And it ended up being a turning point for my relationship with my father. It ended up being a turning point in how I related to my business and my email list and how I really believed in what was possible and what I was creating. And so many beautiful things came of that tragic moment that without the right mindset or the right point of view, it would have just been perhaps a downward spiral for someone else or for a different version of me. So in any moment, there is that opportunity to look at how we're viewing the situation of our life and look for what's right about it, not to be like good vibes only and negate the negativity or the shadow that comes up in our lives, but to take the opportunity to say, if everything in this reality is happening for me and never against me, how would I like to view this? What is the possible lesson or the thing I could gain from this thing happening to me or in my life? And yeah, it's a totally different way to walk through the world when you're willing to be that question.
Life's happening for me, not to me.
Yeah, not to me or against me.
So how did people start kind of tuning in and being able to switch that in their mind? Because that's a big leap for many people, especially if they're going through some challenge.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing to do is start noticing what are the thoughts, what are the conclusions or the decisions. Usually it sounds like, oh, I always do this, or why does this always happen to me? Or anything like that is sort of a trigger to start noticing, oh, this is a story I have. This is a belief that I've been walking through the world as. And Byron Katie, The Work, is a great inquiry process to use. Access Consciousness also has a series of questions. We'll start with Byron Katie, which is, can I know absolutely that this is true? So, you know, oh, I always buy a vehicle that's going to fall apart, or I never have enough money. That's a blanket absolute truth that we've made true. Doesn't have to be true. Can I know absolutely that it's true? And the beauty of that question, can I know absolutely that it's true, is that if there's evidence anywhere in your life that it's not true for you, or even evidence that it's anywhere in your life that it's not true for someone else, that means it's not an absolute truth. And that means that it could just as easily not be true. And so then we want to start looking at what is the opposite of that. If the opposite of that could possibly be also true, then it starts to collapse this thing that's been solid and hard and stuck in your life. It starts to sort of disintegrate into, oh, what if that's not actually true? Who would I be without that thought is the next question. Who am I when I believe that thought? And who would I be without that thought? And then you get to start to see who you are as a person when you have that belief in you and when you don't. And it starts to really unpack a lot of the layers of that subconscious programming of this is true and I am this way to what if it's not? And who would I be without it? So that's a really beautiful inquiry process to get into. And it really frees us up energetically to start sort of analyzing and unpacking a lot of the things that we've boxed ourselves in with. And some questions from Access Consciousness, which is a whole school of thought. I highly recommend anyone who's never heard the term Access Consciousness goes and Googles it or YouTubes it as soon as you finish this podcast episode, because there's so much magic in there to unpack. But a couple questions from them are, what is this? What can I do with it? Can I change it? If so, how can I change it? So once you notice there's this roadblock in your way, it could be your car breaking down. It could be that big bill coming. It could be just that, you know, you're feeling stressed all the time, or something's wrong with your body, or something's wrong with your relationship, or any of the factors. What is this? And you don't have to answer these questions, I should say. You sort of get an energetic awareness coming up. What is this? What can I do with it? And can I change it? And if so, how can I change it? When you ask those questions, it's sort of an invitation for the universe to start handing you new awareness, new points of view, new perspective. And then you become this sort of dowsing rod for what else could you be thinking? What else could you be looking at or believing or moving towards or choosing or taking action on or just simply aware of that would give you more lightness, more spaciousness of being in your life? So those are two really great processes that people can use for this stuff.
So I think awareness really is the starting point, right?
Huge. Yeah. Noticing where we're stuck, where we're telling a tired story that doesn't actually serve us.
One other way that you can find those places is the stories you recount to others. If you have some kind of, you know, challenging experience and you find yourself, you know, telling all your friends and all your family members, you know, maybe the first time might be a little bit of an emotional release or tension release. But the second time you tell that story, you are weaving your own fate. You can feel it energetically becoming a burden.
Totally. And you'll notice what in that healing journey, which I'm sure most people listening to this podcast are on that sort of journey of healing and growth and expansion. You'll notice that you don't have to tell the same stories anymore after a while, that as you do more of that healing and that inner journeying, those stories don't feel relevant the way they used to. And I think that's a really cool sign of growth.
Yeah, absolutely. It no longer kind of fills that need that you had and almost feels dirty sometimes. You can tell energetically. It is fascinating.
Yeah.
And so once we become aware, how can we shift it?
Very good question. How can I change this? Yeah, I think there are a lot of ways. For me, my daily practice and how I check in with myself, I'm a real big proponent for journaling because I'm a writer. I know not everybody is a writer and people process in different ways, but my sanity and my spiritual practice are very much rooted in me writing in the morning before I get out of bed and at night before I go to sleep as a way to check in with myself and also as a way to do all those self-care things that you know, we're all told we need to do, like the gratitude practice and the future visioning of who am I becoming? What do I desire? What am I calling in? And also just the processing of like, what happened to me today? What's going on in my inner space? What do I need to dump out of my head so that I can stay as much of a blank slate as possible to be my highest self in my daily life? So for me, it looks a lot like that. And the program that I created around money mindset and, you know, changing our story and our programming around money is called Peace with Money. And one of the daily practices that I do in my journal and really the basic guideline for that whole course is getting people just into a habit of doing this is peace with money feels like dot, 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 and fill that in as many ways as you can. And I know for a lot of people, for me, early on in this process, I didn't really have an awareness in my own life of what peace with money actually felt like. I didn't have enough of my own experiences of feeling peaceful around money to pull from. And so if that's the case for anyone out there, you can crawl into someone else's world and get it. For me, I use Oprah a lot. I still use Oprah when I'm feeling uninspired from my own experiences. And I simply imagine Oprah and I energetically sort of crawl into her world and I ask her questions like, hey, Oprah, what's it like when you find out how much money you made today or this week or whatever? I imagine some assistant coming in with a notebook and telling her, hey, this is where we're at. And she goes, okay, like, great. That's what we made. There's not a huge emotional spike. There's not a huge enthusiasm or a fear or anger or anything. She's just sort of calm and understanding of that's where my money's at today. And then I ask her, okay, Oprah, what's it like when you find out, I don't know, what you owe for taxes or what the big bill was for that new project or what it's going to cost to change that thing in your house? And that money number comes in and it's a money going out number. And I get it's kind of the same. It's this calm. There isn't a big pendulum swing of emotion. It's this, okay, we've got it. It's handled. That's happening. And so I go to that place with Oprah because Oprah has an insane amount of money, in my opinion. And I just crawl back down the wormhole to me and my body and my life, pulling as much of that awareness as possible, that calm, that peace, that knowing I have it, knowing it's handled, knowing there's enough, knowing there's more than enough and everything is taken care of. And I pull that back and I write down what I know about that now. What does peace with money feel like or seem like, or how is peace with money experienced? What are the qualities of peace with money? And I just riff on that for as long as I can. And that gets me into that energetic zone. And if I'm sure people out there know about the law of attraction and what Abraham Hicks says, if you can hold on to something for 17 seconds, you're starting to change your energetic fingerprint in this reality to pull that more of that to you. You're becoming more of something that then can attract more of that to you. So I just try to hold on to that peace with money feeling for as long as I can. I do that through writing. I also do it through meditation. People can do it however they want, but that begins to attract it. And it's miraculous what shows up in our lives, that money comes in, and it's not directly, you know, us as business owners, we think, okay, I put a post out or I sent an email out and that directly brought in this many clients or that much engagement. And it's usually not that. It's usually I'm still doing the same amount of marketing or whatever, and then referrals are coming in out of nowhere, or an email comes in from someone, or someone who's already been in my sphere for a while finally decides it's time to work with me. There's these magical, miraculous new flows that happen when we're in that state because we're attracting that energetic match to what we're being.
I think what's really beautiful about that, Molly, is the idea, the actual idea and practice of having peace with money. Because so many of the abundance courses out there are focused, first of all, on lack. And the people going into them are going into them because of lack. But if you could just get to that neutral place and open up.
And the truth is, it doesn't matter if you have a ton of money or you have absolutely no money. The energy of peace with money is not related to the number. So I'm not saying people come into this course and you'll make millions of dollars, because it doesn't matter if you make millions of dollars if you're still going to be suffering about it. Because there are millionaires who are in fear about their money also. So it's like, let's get the energetic place of calm and peace and like beauty with it. And then more of it can show up and it doesn't matter as much. It's not that money doesn't matter anymore, but it's that it won't be a traumatic pendulum swing of emotion anymore. You'll be in a place of calm no matter where you're at. And that's really the end goal, I think.
Exactly. Money doesn't bring freedom. It's the mind that brings freedom.
Yeah.
Money can be a prison, just like you say, for wealthy people. Some of them, you know, they spend all of their energy having to know everything about their money. What's coming in, what's going out. It's, yeah, it can go either way. So I really like that. I really like that. I have a program as well. Master Your Money Mind goes deep into clearing, you know, old beliefs and emotions to get to that place. And so I really, really appreciate the idea of peace with money. Wonderful. So tell me some of the miracle stories that have happened for you.
For me, I went from within the same about 6 or 7 months, many years ago, I went from making almost no money in my business to having my first $5,000 and then $10,000 a month as I was learning these tools, as I was sort of revealing the energetic blocks and clearing them. So for me, I know that you can be doing the same things in your life. And when you change energetically, big shifts can happen. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm such a big now advocate for the energetic side of business and the energetic side of marketing and healing in general, because I've seen the dramatic change of receiving in my life that's possible when we use these tools. And the same sort of unpacking led to my first $20,000 a month and beyond that. And so as far as shifts go, when I started my business, I was making between $100 and $500 a month for like the first 6 or 7 months. So that was like a really big awakening to me, that not only can anyone change from, I mean, I was very much a vagabond hippie living in the back of my car a lot in my 20s, to be able to shift to that kind of receiving is so much proof for me that we can change things. And for my clients, I mean, people were having big health expenses show up and then suddenly a check comes in the next day that more than covers it. Or people were having a car breakdown and then, you know, someone to save it or the right amount of money coming in. A lot of times it's like when this need shows up, will magic in the response to support it. But a lot of people are also just experiencing more flow, best months ever, things coming in that they weren't expecting, clients showing up without the same kind of effort and struggle that it took before. Yeah. And if you go wildheartsraiseup.com/peace, even if you don't want to take the money Peace with Money program from me, there's so many screenshots I took of people during that course that are just miraculous, things that show up that you didn't think was possible, and just being blown away by what happens when we change our energetic state around this stuff. It's really fun.
So I'm actually hearing two things, Molly. Aside from the peace state, there needs to be also that opening that allows more to come in. It's almost a willingness.
I think they happen at the same time. It's like, I keep saying this pendulum swinging. So I sort of imagine the emotional spectrum that we're on around money as being this pendulum swinging from joy and celebration to fear and trauma and sadness or whatever, suffering. And when that pendulum is in the middle, that's where the peace is. And that's sort of how I imagine when we're in that sort of alignment, because it's in the middle, we're this direct channel for source energy, for magic, for light to arrive in our lives. And when we're on those other ends of the spectrum, it's almost like we're a little bit off kilter and not lined up to that receiving state. So I think they happen together. When we get to that place of peace with money, it's like it opens up that floodgate and clears the way for more to flow in.
So it's not just peace about where you are with money. It's actually peace with money.
Yeah.
And let money do its magic.
Yeah. Well, money wants to be your friend and it wants to hang out with you. It likes to come and do fun things. So if we're creating a life that money wants to come and play with, and here's the thing, I show people in the course to make friends with money, because a lot of times we've got these stories and we think money is our adversary or it's something we hate to have to deal with. And if you had a friend who treated you like crap and didn't really like you and thought there was something wrong with you and didn't want to hang out with you, you probably wouldn't spend much time in that relationship. But if you have somebody that like thinks you're amazing and wants to be your friend, you're going to go there. And so what would it take to make friends with money and to treat the energetic being presence of money in your life as if it's someone you love and you talk to and you invite in and like want to have a party with? That money is going to come to that place a lot more easily than somebody who's hating on it and making it wrong.
So everyone, got to change your thinking about money.
If you want to. Some people like suffering.
Yeah, some people like suffering. I will say that not all modalities work really well for all people. So it's just a little bit of experimenting to find the one that works for you.
Absolutely. And in my experience, most of those of us who take courses take a lot of them because we want to try all the things.
Absolutely. Anything else you'd like to share today, Molly?
I'm really grateful to get to be on your show. And yeah, thank you everyone out there for listening. We love podcast listeners. And yeah, don't give up. Keep going. Ask big questions.
Molly, how can people learn more?
Yeah, my website is wildheartsriseup.com. And I've got a couple podcasts on there. I just released my book, which is linked to Amazon on there. I have an oracle deck I created from scratch. There's a couple quizzes. There's a quiz about money and a quiz about thought leadership. Lots of ways to engage. And if you want to follow my travels and stories as I meander around the world, you can follow me on Instagram, wild_one_rising, wild one rising. Okay. Thanks for having me on the show.
Perfect. Thank you for being here. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Exploring the Mystical Side of Life. You will find all of our conversations on YouTube, Apple Podcasts. Come and visit me at thoughtchange.com. Reach out if you want to know more about my Master Your Money Mind program. And we will see you again next time. That's it for this week. Bye for now.